It is a special round two Rapid React Capital Golf Gang. A new tradition unlike any other. Yes, we are here on a Friday night. We are presented by Golfdom and Worldwide Golf. Get there. John Ronis, Director of Golf, River Creek Golf Club, Leesburg, Virginia. How are you tonight, my friend?
I am spectacular. I'm really hoping that all the shingles in my house don't blow away right now.
Yes. Right. In the DC area, we're getting the wind that they got today at Augusta. And tomorrow, it's apparently going to be every bit as bad. But it's going to be nice in Augusta. John Gould, Executive Director of the Mid-Atlantic PGA. How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Great to join you guys on a Friday night.
Yes, indeed. And I am Steve Zabin, former number six player on the Langley High School golf team, 1985.
Nice.
Promoted. Nice.
What do you mean promoted? You saying I was less than that when I was a sophomore?
You're right.
We all get better as we get older.
That's right.
That's a true thing. That's a true statement. But I didn't play much that year. Okay, let's get to it. Your Friday headlines: survive and hold on for dear life. Only seven players broke par. Only one player broke 70. That'd be Ludvig Åberg.
My boy.
Scoring average was north of 75. Cut line fell at plus six. Carnage was everywhere. Debris was everywhere. 6 hour rounds. Some guys played nearly 27 holes and were left with a three-way tie at the top. DeChambeau, Scheffler, and Homa all at minus six. Although tomorrow it's going to be DeChambeau and Homa in the final pairing. John Gould will tell us why that is in a second, with Scheffler and Nikolai Højgaard going off in the second to last group. 14 players are at one under or better, but only seven shots separate the top 21. So the leaderboard is thin and it's narrow, meaning there's a lot of guys in between not that many shots. Nobody has broken away from the pack. The winds will calm down. I believe there will be movement tomorrow. Oh, and there's that guy with the new logo that looks like a caterpillar. He's at 22nd, inconceivably, at plus one, Tiger Woods. Let's start with you, Mr. Ronis. Your thoughts as we get into the weekend at the Masters.
It's a lot to take in. That was a golf course that we haven't seen for a while, no question about it. And, you know, this is the thing about weather. When you talk about the Open Championship and things like that, these golf courses are designed to be set up for weather. This one particularly really isn't designed to be set up for weather. So when this happens, it does create complete chaos. And on top of that, the long day, and on top of that, 6 hour rounds. By the end of the round, you saw some people really, really struggling to pull it in. I think Ricky, with his pacifier and water bottle, also pulled out his binky at one point and laid down on the fairway and took a nap. It was a long, long day.
John Gould, your thoughts on the day?
Yeah, you know, speaking of the weather, I mean, I don't think we've ever seen, I don't recall seeing wind like that where it's coming out of the bunkers and everybody's turning their face away, you know, from the sand particles in their eyes. And, you know, the carnage was unbelievable. It required so much patience today, and you could see they had patience for a while, but how many people just leaked oil into the end, where their mental stamina really ran out? I got to believe that's basically what happened is, you know, you're trying to be patient. You're trying to just deal with the wind, and all of a sudden you lose it. I mean, JT was the kind of big one, you know, for the cut, but there was a couple of others that, you know, same thing where, you know, Sergio, some others just totally tanked the last three or four holes and, you know, blew it. You know, and there's some big names that missed it. We got great big names at the top, but we have some big names that are not playing this weekend as well.
And I'll tell you what, Dave, in the South, in Georgia particularly, you don't usually get 2 days of stuff. You get afternoons, you get one day, but two straight days of 40, solid 40-mile-an-hour winds is unheard of.
I think this was the most wind for the longest period in my lifetime I can ever remember at Augusta. This was a front coming through followed by thunderstorms and rain, but it was dry all day. And I'm actually shocked there were seven guys that somehow broke par, because I didn't think it was possible with that kind of wind. But it tells you how good they are. I did love the fact they had a long, hard, and sometimes miserable day out there, because every now and then you want the best in the world to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
it did change the golf course considerably, though. You know, the par 68 was no longer a par 68 for even those like DeChambeau. I mean, the par fives played par fives today. And so it was cool to watch, and they had to manage them. And I don't think some of them were even used to where to lay up on some of the par fives to hit those wedges in there. So it was really neat to see. And if you watch, probably if you watched every shot from one of those guys, you would have seen a lot of shots that you weren't used to seeing. And you could see how they were thinking their way around the course.
Yeah, and I don't think there was any discernible difference between, you know, usually early, late, or late, early, there's an advantage to one side of the draw, you know. And DeChambeau, I think, got, you know, a good number of holes in the morning on Thursday done before, you know, the wind really started picking up. So I think that's, you know, part of the reason why he shot so low. But I really don't think there was an advantage, because it was today especially, and those that finished up yesterday late, you know, the wind was the whole time. So there was really no advantage. Everybody kind of dealt with the same conditions, which is nice and unusual with a major, you know, that usually there's a definite advantage.
I've minted a new term, boys, called anchorman specials. What's an anchorman special? It's when you have a disaster where, remember, boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Yeah.
It jumped up a notch, didn't it? Whoo, it did, didn't it? I counted. I went and researched these because the Masters app is so great. You can punch right in. I was asking my text buddy. I was like, how did Spieth make a 9 on number 15?
I watched every shot.
I know. I went right to the website, and I was like, click, click, click. Oh, okay. There you go. Pretty easy. He ends up third shot over the green, chips into the water, 4, drops 5, indifferent putt. Up to the green, 6, 3 putts, easy 9.
Yeah, very simple.
Just missed for 8.
So then I was looking around. I'm like, holy cow, how did Harmon make a 7 on 13? Well, he spun a wedge off the middle of the green into Rays Creek, ends up chipping up. He 3 putted, easy 7. Then there was on 16, Harmon had a water drop wedge, 40-foot 3 putt, routine triple there. So that was an 8 for Brian Harmon. And then you had the Gala on number 3. He went driver into the bunker, on the fairway, wedge, which landed behind the pin, but turbo zzz, all the way down off the front, chip, roll back, chip, roll back, chip, 2 putt, easy 7. Bubba made an 8 from the middle of the fairway on 11, put it in the lake or the pond, drop, scalded pitch over the back, chips it past the hole, runs his bogey, double bogey putt way past, and then 3 putts. Anchorman specials. That's what it was all day long. Spieth nearly buried a club in the fairway. He was so frustrated. Hovland did a quick rake and missed a 6-incher in frustration on number 15. It was carnage.
And did you see the shot that Tiger hit into 3, by the way?
No.
I think he was 86 yards and hit a pitching wedge.
Yes, and I did see
because
that.
Because he wanted to take the spin off of it.
Took the spin off, right.
I mean, it's just a different level. And he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have it physically like the other guys do, but there's a different level required for Augusta National, that's for sure. And in those conditions, I can't imagine.
And, you know, we need to give Tiger his credit, because in many of these shows, at least you and I, Ronis, have said, no, he's got no shot. He's not going to be competitive. He'll never have a mental breakdown like some of those others did today. He'll never give up. He'll never just, you know, do the wrong thing. Even if his physical talent isn't there, he'll never lose that mental tenacity.
Yeah, to that point, so I'm watching Tiger on 18, and it was kind of unclear how high the cut was going to be. It looked like it was maybe going to be 3 or 4, and it ended up ballooning to 6. But he's standing over a 5-footer for par on 18, and the wind whips up so hard, it's peeling giant dunes of crystal white sand out of the lip of the bunker. Never seen that before during play at Augusta. He stops, backs off, calms down, and buries the 5-footer.
Yeah.
That's Tiger Woods. I'm stunned, Ronis, that he's playing this well. I shouldn't be. I should never be surprised at what he does. But, wow, he is playing incredibly.
I'm stunned in those conditions, because you have to be a really good ball striker in windy conditions or else you're in trouble. Hence Spieth, JT, and those guys who just aren't the greatest ball strikers right now, and hopefully they get it back, but right now, and that wind just destroys the golf ball when you're not striking it solidly.
All right, so as we look towards the weekend. Yeah, go ahead, Ron Gould.
Yeah, I really thought Max Homa, it was kind of fanboying about playing with Tiger, and he mentioned that putt on 18 where just the, you know, he's turned his back three or four times because the sand is pelting him, and Tiger's just standing there like a statue, and he buries the putt. You know, I thought that was, you know, a lot of respect there for Max, and it was really cool to hear.
It'll also be interesting to see how Mug does outside of the shadow because, you know, all eyes on Tiger, you know that you can just go about your business and not worry about it. And now that he's not going to be playing with him, obviously the eyes are on him because he's a co-leader, but also he doesn't have Tiger to look at for certain situations on how maybe to play that particular shot.
We got some Easter eggs to get to, some small little tangential things. I want to hop down the leaderboard, talk about some of the players, talk about some of the disappointments, guys that might be sleeping. We're going to establish where the contender line is today after round two. All right, obviously you got the top three, DeChambeau, Homa, and Scheffler. We're not saying, I mean, all three of those guys can absolutely win, right?
For sure.
For sure, right? You're not going to say, I don't think this guy has it in him. Of course, DeChambeau is a major winner. He did it, of course, with no fans on a COVID course in the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. But still, he's playing great golf. He's putting very well. And he seems happy and content. He also seems ripped, by the way. Can we talk about that with DeChambeau for a hot second? He bulked up to proportions that were absurd. He bragged about how I'm just trying to eat everything in sight. And he got really thick. And then he dialed it back and laid off. He looks shredded right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of time to lift weights. So Live Tour plays once a month.
I know it does.
So no big deal.
So do you have anything nice to say about DeChambeau or his game right now?
Well, he's very solid.
He's putting great. He looks so uncomfortable still, but he's putting great, and I'm rooting against him so hard.
Yeah, okay. I am too, but he's an excellent golfer. I mean, it's no question.
I find myself oddly not super anti-DeChambeau, and I don't quite know why.
Yeah, I don't either. Think he's,
he has said something for that.
I know. he has said some ridiculous things about the LIV Tour and world ranking points. His whole the mad scientist is absurdly overblown, but he is such a weirdo. I kind of respect it. I remember when he
was
about
his new irons? Did you see that?
Yeah, they're all weird too.
Okay, so
they just got approved
a week ago. Approved. Right. He said he helped design these new irons that have less roll to the face.
I didn't know
and
what that
made
means.
By some company that I have never heard of.
And they printed them with a 3D printer. That is amazing.
Really weird. Do you need him at every champions dinner for the next 30 years?
Yeah, that would be bad.
He can win every other major, Zabe. I'm fine with that, but he can't win the Masters.
Listen, with the likes of with Patrick Reed there now, and Sergio. Like if DeChambeau joins Sergio and Patrick Reed, we need one more for the card table of dipsticks that we can go put in the corner.
The kids' table. Yeah.
Exactly right. Okay. Max Homa, I will be pulling for Max Homa. Max Homa, it is an absolute fan favorite. So cool. He's kind of like the modern Freddie Couples. What have you seen in Max Homa's game, Ronis, that makes you say, you know what, this could be his week?
Well, he played the best round today of the people that we saw on TV. He played a very simple 71. One under. I think he had, it was blowing all day, but it was a little bit easier in the morning, just a tad easier in the morning. But, you know, one thing that I see that he does, it looks like a little bit easier than the other guys, is work the ball from right to left with a little draw. So I think that helps at Augusta always. It also helps when there's windy conditions, although I think the wind's gone now for there. So yeah, he's just got a very, very solid game, but you never know. He's a good putter, but you never know when those greens are browns and on the weekend if he can hold up with that putter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so easy to get off track there. I think he's doing a really good job of, you know, once again, I keep going to it, the mental game. you know, keeping sharp and not losing focus. But it's so easy just to, you know, get off track and all of a sudden you make four bogeys in a row. It's just incredibly easy there. So yeah. I am pulling for him too, and I'm hoping he has the game to hold up this weekend.
Homa is comfortable hitting these bullet draws, whereas most of the tour guys now like to hit high fades, and that's a huge asset to be able to do that under pressure. Then, of course, there's Scotty Scheffler. I mean, look, he actually gave one back he shouldn't have, missing a short one on number five or six, I think it was, just a tiddler. And, I mean, he hasn't even heated it up yet, I don't think. He gave one away also on 13. He put it in the water and two had to scramble for par or bogey, actually. So, I mean, it's still his tournament to lose in my mind.
I totally agree with you. And yesterday looked pretty simple for him. Obviously, he shot a great score. Today, it was not his A game. You know, he definitely hit some squirrely shots. So, yeah, I mean, he's definitely – I bet on him. If I had to bet and you know, you're just betting on the winner for the $1 that I usually bet, I'd bet on Scheffler.
Yeah, he's been on the odds-on favorite all week. It was number five, Dave, that he missed the shorty. But, you know, even in the wind, you're like, he's not going to make a bogey here. You know, I don't expect him to make a bogey all the way. And now, of course, he did. But, you know, yesterday with the bogeyless round, it's kind of what you expect out of Scheffler, you know, that he's going to be the guy that's going to be steady Eddie, and someone's got to do something ridiculous to beat him. You know, you got to shoot 64 the nerd bow, as we used to call him, Zabe.
But tomorrow's going to be cool because that wind's going to lay down and someone hot can shoot easily a 63.
Right. We'll see how much the sub-airs are cranking. We'll see how much water they allow those greens to
trip. I think they're going to water them. I think they want to see some scores.
I hope so. Scores and roars. Because that's how the Masters likes it. They're not like the USGA in that they don't want to punish guys per se. They want a tough championship layout, but they don't want anything that's absurd. So we go next down to that Nikolai. How you feel about Nikolai Højgaard at 4-under?
I think he's an outstanding – he's got a beautiful golf swing. He's not going to win. But, you know, great experience for him, but he's not winning.
Okay.
Either is Cam Davis.
I think he bogeyed 17 and 18, and he was – kind of hot coming in. For those who don't know anything about him, he's a twin, you know, similar to me. So he's got a game similar to me too, you know. But
his brother is, because I told Ronis last night you were not here. How'd your dinner go, by the way?
That went great. Maryland State Golf Association Hall of Fame. So it was good to see some people get rewarded.
Yeah. But no, I said I had to check which Højgaard it was because I know he's got a brother, but I forgot
his name. Rasmus is the other one.
What a great Rasmus. Why didn't I name one of my boys Rasmus?
Too late.
Rasmus Ronis? He'd Next be playing life. Shortstop right now for the whoever, Braves, Nationals.
And he's from Denmark, right? I'm looking at his flag, and my flag recollection is
I thought it was Norway, but I'm not sure.
No, it's Denmark. I hovered my cursor over the red flag with the white cross. Yeah. Denmark. So, yeah, no Dane has ever won the Masters. He's out. Nice tournament. You're 4-under. You're two shots back, writing you off because we're jerks. Yeah. Cam Davis, know your Cams. He's stuck around. He's at 3-under par. Sneaky. Good.
The Cams are doing well.
I know. If I saw a single shot of Cam Davis today, I don't know if I did or not.
You
did
not. I saw one.
Well, unless you went to the app, you can see all of them.
Okay. Colin Morikawa. At T5.
No, not a chance in a billion years.
Changed putters today. Used the claw putter technique, but he changed putters. I can't trust that. I can't trust a guy who changes putters between Thursday and Friday. Not going to happen.
Oberg is at 2-under. He was the only guy to break 70 today, 69. The guy's amazing.
He's the one that could break through, I think.
He has a chance.
He could win. He's got that much horsepower, and he's that young and that clueless.
Tournament.
No scars yet from
no
Augusta.
Scars yet. My guy Ryan Fox did not completely hit the eject button. He shot 74. He's T8. He's not going to win.
No, he's not.
Cam Young, another great major finish in the making for him without most likely a win. So good
he's
money.
He's got a chance, though. He does in the one unders on that list. He's the only one. Cam Smith and Cam Young.
Okay.
Looking at his scorecard, he only had five pars, if I'm counting right, maybe six. He was up and down all day, so very interesting.
He make birdies.
Yeah, he can.
Yes, he did.
Sure can.
Tommy Fleetwood, 1-under.
And you can end it right there because no one from one under and outside of that is coming back to win this thing.
So you've got one guy at one.
I got Cam Young or Cam Smith.
Okay, so you got the Cam parlay for the one unders, and otherwise you're going to write off everyone else not two under or better.
One, correct.
You're okay. Going to take Cam Davis too for the triple Cam?
Triple Cam.
Well, Cam Davis is up at three under.
Yeah, so okay.
It's the only people. No one after 15th place, which is even par. No one after even par has got a prayer. It's only one under and forward. And out of those one unders, you know, Pavan and On Matthew and Fox, Pavone, they're not winning. Fishman,
Willett. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not winning.
Okay. Xander Schauffele, 72-72. That is such a Xander Schauffele type first two rounds. Look, he's
back
probably
door, top 10.
Probably a nice guy. He's a really good player. His boringness is so relentless. So suffocating. Every time I see him on the TV, he's the Toby Flenderson of the PGA Tour. I'm like Michael Scott. I'm like, why are you the way you are? Oh, sorry. I'm Xander
Schauffele. He's really good, but you put Xander Schauffele interviews next to your bed to go to sleep at night. It is boring.
Yes.
I would not be surprised if he backdoor top eight, something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
and
never,
once again,
part of the equation.
Who cares?
Okay,
cashes a check.
Tiger at plus one. I'm going to skip down to him. T22. What does he have to shoot to get some people rattled? Does he need to be within three of the lead or four of the lead to get people rattled?
Tomorrow he's going to have to shoot six, because those guys guarantee that they shoot three. The leader's going to shoot three or more under tomorrow.
So Tiger has to shoot seven under?
No, he's got to get six under tomorrow. So he's got to get to five under tomorrow.
Well, no, he's got to shoot seven under. He's plus one.
No, he's talking about tomorrow's round.
Saying tomorrow he needs to shoot six under. So he's got to hit the five under.
Okay.
I'm not going to predict a score, but he's got to be within probably the third to last group to really put a scare, even if he's a big difference. But if they can hear him, you know, when he makes a birdie, hear his crowd because they're within a couple groups, that's what I think the magic number is, to be to the third group or so from the end.
I just don't think anyone's scared of Tiger anymore, you know, like they used to be. I think they would be more scared of Scheffler. And I think that's the only person they're scared of now, Scheffler. And it's more like, here he comes. He's going to win again.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're scared.
Koepka plus two. He's T24. Sort of a ho-hum tournament for him. Tyrrell Hatton also plus two. Hatton ripped the slow play of Patrick Reed.
Good.
Day. Yeah, live on live crime.
That is some live on live crime, to be sure.
Tyrrell is playing with Tiger. That's going to be an interesting pairing to see if we get any fireworks there.
Willie Z backed it up. Unfortunately, he was two under after the first round, 77 today to finish plus three. He is T30. Mickelson made the cut, shooting 73 and then 75 today. That's pretty good for the old man. VJ made the cut at plus four as well. He still golfs?
Yeah. One of the bets that one of my assistants was making was low senior. And he was cursing VJ all day because he picked Mickelson. He's like, this is a no-brainer. I'm like, yeah, just like every other bet that you've made. It's a no-brainer.
Low senior. I never even thought to do that.
Yeah.
And then also at plus four, T35, the fair-haired Irish lad, Rory McIlroy.
Just could not get it going.
Well, we talked over text, but it is fascinating to listen to the announcers. He's 10 strokes back, and they're hanging on every putt like this could get him right back into it.
Well, Dottie, and I like Dottie Pepper, but Dottie said, you know, if he can make a couple birdies coming in, he could be right back in this thing. He was only plus one at the time, but Scheffler was minus seven. And I'm thinking, if he could make some birdies, he wouldn't be eight shots back.
No, Scheffler was done. He was four over par coming up 17.
So they were even selling a Rory McIlroy could get into it as late as the 18th. See, now, this is what I hate. These announcers, they're very good. I like almost all of them, except for Ian Baker Finch. We'll get to that in a second. Although he's a nice guy, but his announcing is worthless. Why do they sell us on things we know as golf fans are not true? We no golf. We watch the tournament as closely as they do, if not more closely, because we're watching four different screens. We talk about it with our buddies, and we can do basic math.
Yeah.
Don't sell us. Rory's in it if he makes a birdie or two when we know he's not.
It's shocking to me because Dottie Pepper's great. So the fact that she was doing that, it was unbelievable. You know who's great? Curtis Strange. They were on 13 and 15, and they hit a shot. Hit shots from like 82 yards. And the Schauffele was the second one to hit. He was like 20 feet short. And Van Pelt was like, not bad from there. What do you think, Curtis? And he goes, not good.
Yeah, not good, which is great, by the way. Reason I'm so with you on Curtis Strange, and we know his personality
from
just over the years. And I had one famous interaction. I was working the hat stand at Avenel during the Kemper 1 year. He was in sort of at the tail end of his career, almost like a sponsor's invite. And before he walked to the first tee from the range, he walked by the hat stand that I was working as an outside ops guy at Avenel. And he bought a hat.
No.
He was like, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
That's insane.
He goes, I know. It was crazy. I was like, I can't believe this Curtis Strange is actually buying a hat for me right now. And he goes to like reach for some money in his money clip. And I'm like, you can just have this. You know, I was going to tell my boss, Brian Golden. I'm like, yeah, Curtis Strange, you know, 2-time U.S. Open champion. He bought a hat. So take that out of inventory.
Now,
so anyway,
before you end on that real quick. Was Hatton eating a sandwich today from the concession stand? Because he was eating a sandwich with the wrapper on it at one point.
I don't think so, because it wasn't a green wrapper.
No, it was a green wrapper.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. Wow. And it probably was. He probably said, give me some of that pimento cheese.
Give me some of it.
By the way, if you eat the whole menu, eat for the cycle, eat the whole menu, buy the whole menu, do you know what it costs?
I'm going to say $27.
Okay, way to ruin it.
Is it $27?
No, it's $66. You ruined it because you went absurdly too low. It's a big menu, Gould.
Yeah, there's like 10 sandwiches.
It's so much food you couldn't eat it all, but it's only $66 for the whole menu, which is nuts. Okay, so back to Curtis Strange. I like Curtis Strange because what plagues the CBS crew is Ian Baker Finch, who is the most syrupy, schmaltzy, and cloying announcer. You can look that word up. It's the perfect word for him.
I will have to.
His positivity is completely insincere and applied without any discretion whatsoever. For example, and I texted you guys this, Rahm hits a ball on 14, which is a dumb hole because nobody can actually keep it in the fairway. It all rolls down to the right. They should redesign it, but don't get me started on that. He hits a ball, and Ian Baker Finch starts gushing. Because that's what he does. Absolutely perfect drive by John Rahm. Up and just goes into the right rough. It's sitting down a little bit in that fluffy stuff. It's going to be hard to hold the green from right there. I'm like, didn't you just say
perfect?
Absolutely perfect drive.
Yeah, now absolutely perfect one that he can't hold the green with.
Right. It's in fluffy rough that you're concerned he's not going to hold the green. Which one is it? And that's encapsulated what his problem is. So they got Trevor Immelman, who's not as gushy, not as cloying, but a super nice, super sweet guy. There's no edge to him. And Curtis Strange brings the edge.
Yes. And That's totally necessary.
The old Johnny Miller take that we're not getting.
Well, but not over the edge. He brings the Johnny edge Miller. Of we're not glorifying these guys, but at the same time, he doesn't go overboard and like hate the guys.
Well, and back to Zabe's original point with the, you know, telling us, you know, Rory only, you know, if he makes a few birdies, he's going to be back in this. I think they're all just so psychologically beaten down that it's super positive and it's, hey, get the people to come back, even though they know we're coming back. So, oh yeah, everybody, they've got a chance. Everybody's got a chance. You know, anybody can make part of this. It's going to be so exciting tomorrow, regardless of, you know, anything that's going on.
And it's not like someone has an 8-stroke lead that you have to build someone up that they're going to come back. You have three people tied at the top. Just go with what you got. By the way, Golf Digest has the article on Tyrrell Hatton rips Patrick Reed, and it is a perfect picture of him eating. It looks like a ham and cheese with a green wrapper on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because he was waiting all day.
Yeah.
I got time to go to the concession. Not even cut in line because, hello, I'm playing in this thing. Yeah. Wait for a sandwich and then eat it while Patrick Reed did his thing.
Right.
So anyway – so Ian Baker Finch, probably a lovely fellow. worthless announcer, gives you nothing but syrup and gush. I like Curtis Strange because he's got an edge. He's not overly negative. I'd say that, you know, back in the day, Johnny Miller was too negative for my tastes, but at least he was critical and didn't try to be everyone's friend. Faldo was capable of an edge, although he got very soft later in his announcing years. Mm-hmm. And Paul Azinger absolutely had an edge. And
that is
essential in a broadcast. So Curtis Strange has been great. Let me keep pressing down the leaderboard. Joaquin Niemann, the special invitee, 78 today. Not a great day, but then again, nobody else did. He's plus four. Rory at plus four, like, he had a drive, just a foul ball on 18. Total foul ball into the trees. Didn't even make the fairway. Scrambled for bogey. I'm not saying he quit, but he just looks flummoxed. You know, he showed up the last guy to check in this year because they assign caddy bibs by number.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, the champion gets bib number one from last year, and then they hand out two through 89, 93, whatever, based on when you come to the sign-up table.
Yeah.
Rory had the highest number bib because he showed up the latest because his whole vibe this time was, okay, everyone knows I'm trying for the career Grand Slam, and I want it badly, but let me just lay back here and try to sneak up on it.
Doing the opposites.
That has not worked.
So, he's not good enough right now.
No, he's not good enough right now. And here's another thing. Tell me if you agree or disagree with this. I said to somebody on the text thread, I go, he's the John Calipari of course management. He's just not good. He, to me, if it's not moist, wet, point-to-point golf, he's not winning a big tournament. He doesn't seem to know this is X over here. This is okay. He makes more dumb mistakes for a great player than I think most other great players.
I'm going to say this, Zabe. That chassis that he has should be driven at about 40 miles an hour on cruise control, and he's driving it at 190 miles an hour. So he's not a big man. So to get what he gets out of his golf swing, it has to be pure, full throttle. And I just don't think that can stay over 4 days. I just don't think it's possible to get everything consistent out of it.
Well, and we all think of him too as, you know, he is a super nice guy, very thoughtful, obviously was the spokesperson for the tour. But I think underneath that all, he has unbelievable self-confidence. So he thinks he can jam it in there. It's like, you know, the quarterback with a pass into a tight spot. And that's what leads to his bad decisions.
I'm gonna say something a little bit on that, John, and see what you think of this. I think he really doubts his putting so much that now he's putting way more pressure on himself to do exactly what you just said.
Stick it close, right?
Yeah. And I do believe he thinks he can do that, but I also think that he thinks, shoot, I'm not that great a putter, and I don't want to show my weakness by being 30 feet, so I'm just going to take lines that just I really shouldn't take.
When was the last time you remembered a boring but effective round by Rory in a major where he clearly just ran the football?
Well, it was
turnovers.
The Open Championship when he lost to Cam Smith was that. Okay. I mean, he could have been 8 under, but it ended up he couldn't make a putt, so he was whatever he was.
Did you hear his quotes when he was talking about playing with Scotty? How much envy was in his voice about how Scotty does that? He just never misses. He's always in position. He's always putting for birdie, and he converts whatever. And you could, I mean, this was after what he shot 5-6 under the first day, and Rory was even or one under, and he's like, man, I wish I could do that, you know?
Yeah, see, I don't like that mentality. Like, no. you're Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Like, yep. You can be Rory. Do that. Yeah. You should do that.
Yeah, be Rory. You know, and that leads us to a great conversation about Victor Hovland. And all these guys who have searched for that little extra, we know that Rory went down the wrong road when he searched for distance, but that little something, when you were really at the top of the world, Hovland was probably third best in the world at the time and could have been number one, and he stinks.
Yeah, you said he should fire his swing coach?
Immediately. Well, and I'm not even saying the swing coach is bad.
The problem is he already fired the last guy from 2023, so he'd be on a new coach.
The swing coach is
the swing coach has been around.
No,
he fired the short game guy.
I'm saying his swing coach is in his house every day when he wakes up. and it's in the mirror every day when he looks in the mirror. That needs to be his swing coach.
Wow. Were you surprised at his frustrated missed six-incher when he tried to do a quick rake on 15? That was kind of uncharacteristic.
Look at his face when he finished his putt on 18. He's devastated.
Yeah, no, he's lost right now.
Yes. And I think it goes back to the thing we talked about really early on this call, is that the mental stamina to be focused and be patient and you know, take your L's when you get them and make a not turn a bogey into a double or a triple. And, you know, they can't do it. They get exhausted mentally, and they do something like that in 15, which causes them to do something stupid on 18. You know, it's just
because they're not used to it. They're too good. They're not used to it. They're just not
used to
it.
Suffering.
Yeah.
John Rahm shoots 76 today. He's at +5. He made the cut, so he'll be around for the weekend. He avoids the indignity of being a champion, a current champ who misses the cut and then has to sit in his, you know, Holiday Inn and wait for a quick nine over there at the Augusta Muni just to kill some time on Saturday and Sunday before showing up on 18. What's going on with Rahm this week and overall, do you think?
Oh, it's ability minus distractions equals performance times 10. Huh. It's
ding,
simple
ding,
as
ding,
that.
Ding, ding, ding,
yeah,
ding, ding.
It's simple as that. He's got so many distractions about the live and the questions and then the comments that he's made and then being a past champion. There's only been three people who have repeated. There's a lot of distractions on that. Apparently he did a great job with his champions dinner. In all accounts, the guy seems like a great guy, but he made a mistake. He knows it, and now he's got to live with it. And not to mention the immense pressure that's going to be put on him to qualify, not for the Masters, that's the rest of his life, but for majors going forward. The Masters is going to have to be that qualifier for him because he's going to get no world ranking points.
Mm. Hey, Ronis, do you think there's anything to the fact that he said, you know, I haven't played as much as I usually do coming into the Masters, right? If he was on tour, he'd have five events in, but because he's at LIV, he's got three events and it's three rounds each.
Yeah.
You know, you think there's anything to that? I think there is. I mean, I don't think he doesn't seem as sharp. But
And the thing about it, John, that's a great question. The thing about it, yeah, John Rahm, the situation is when you don't get a whole lot of starts, you don't have a whole lot of feel for your game. So when you do get into these conditions where it does require a good amount of feel versus just standing up there and hitting range shots, I think you have suffered by getting not as many rounds in. So I think the feel aspect of it, which is really tested in bad conditions, is not there for him.
Did you see Faldo before the tournament on a podcast said he's been playing these resort courses in shorts. He's not ready to play the Masters.
Wow.
And even had an expletive in there. He says he's playing effing resort courses in shorts. And I was like, wow, Faldo.
Wow.
He's pretty strong right there.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, DeChambeau's playing the same courses, so that might not be the same.
I know. I think, you know, golf is so psychological. It is so mental and just emotional all wrapped up into one. When you play with regret, which is a big emotion, John Ronis, it's hard to play your best golf. It's like when Tiger had to try to play with shame. Shame is another big emotion in the human condition. Very difficult.
Yeah,
you know the old saying: how do you become a beautiful? The old Chinese saying,
proverb.
The old proverb: how do you become a beautiful painter? First, become a beautiful person, then paint.
Yeah,
golf, I think, is a lot like that. You can't play your best. You can play okay. You can't play your best when there's inner turmoil. And everything Rahm has said about, I thought it would be quicker. I think we should go to 72 holes. I missed playing at TPC Sawgrass. There's turmoil inside. He's not going to play his best that way. Okay, let's keep pressing on. Finau +5. Matsuyama +6 made the weekend. Jake Knapp, good to see the big fella making the cut at +5. Jose Maria, I think I lost my ball.
That was the big surprise, right? I was wondering if you're going to get to that one. And he tripled 12. And still
he was having a great round. He was 2 under for a while.
Yeah. So impressive. But it just again tells you it's a little bit like Tiger. If you know how to play the course and you can be patient, you can, you may not win, but you can make the cut and compete.
Yeah.
Averaging 247 off the tee, according to the Masters.
That's only 20 yards further than me. Sweet.
I know. On that, I'd say I can hit it that far, but it would be downhill, downwind. Let's not kid ourselves.
Right.
Rick Fowler with his bottle. What was your problem with his bottle? You said he drinks too much water during the round?
I texted a friend of mine about this bottle situation. It has to be held at all times by the handle. Everywhere he goes, he hits a shot, then he picks up the bottle and walks with it. It literally is like a toddler. And I was expecting a pillow and a blanket to come
with
out.
With a sippy cup? Is that what it is?
It's bothering me. And I love Ricky Fowler, but this is really bothering me. This bottle situation is really bothering me.
Bottle situation's out of control. You know, it could be a heavy endorsement he's trying to pay off on to get them airtime, you know?
With Stanley
Cup? Be really heavy. He's carrying around 25 ounces in one arm. No wonder he can't play anymore. One arm's probably way stronger than the other.
Not only that, I can't believe he's not in the bushes every three holes taking a pee-pee. Must be good to have a young.
He might be. We just don't see it.
I think I asked my friend. I think it's a sports psychology thing.
Really?
I think it's his pacifier. It's sad.
Maybe he's got electrolytes or something in it, you know, that he's getting.
Oh, my God. He'd be lit on fire.
All right. Now we go on the other side of the cut line, and the first name up, Justin Thomas, who came in not just leaking oil, but with the engine on fire, smoke billowing everywhere, doors flying off. He finishes double, double, bogey, double to miss the cut by one.
They were, when he was teeing off on 18, they were foaming the fairway. Because the plane was on fire.
Because it was, that's good. Yeah.
They had every truck in the township out at the airport on the runway getting ready. That's a great enough. Justin Thomas, what a disastrous finish. What's going on? And a lot of the guys on my text threads were like, I'd like to know what really happened between him and Bones McKay that he changed caddies a week before the tournament.
That's an excellent question. Yeah, and you know, I follow the trackers on Twitter, all of them, but, you know, the Justin Thomas tracker and they were continually, because I didn't watch every shot, obviously, until he got on TV, how bad he was playing, but somehow he was even par. He's hitting it poorly, but he was somehow even par. You know, he's got a great short game. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think the first double on 15 started with him laying up on 15 and it trickling too far and going in the water. You know, which is, you know, a cardinal sin of layups, right? If you're going to lay up, lay up.
Lay up.
Right.
A comedy of errors, cascade of errors from there.
Well, maybe if he had his regular caddy with him, he would have laid up better. You know, that sounds like a caddy player.
No question it is.
Yeah.
Bones wouldn't have allowed him to hit anything close that would have gone in the water.
And supposedly he started aim pointing too today. So.
Oh, wonderful. Good time to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he had 6 hours to do it, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
At one point in the broadcast, Ian Baker Finch, again, probably a wonderful guy, but worthless, said, you know, Dottie, I never like to use my feet to judge the break. I use my eyes. My eyes are my supercomputer. I'm like, shut up. You didn't have
that's
a supercomputer.
That's great, Ian. I use my lips. I mean, of course you're going to use your eyes, you dumb.
But he called it his supercomputer. I'm like, you're the guy who hit it out of bounds on one. At St.
Andrews. Yeah.
Supercomputers. Your supercomputer is a Tandy 486.
It's got a floppy disk. Yeah.
Not even that. Okay. All right. The two biggest clowns of the day, without a question, Wyndham Clark, who shot 78 after bragging about, hey, you know, I could shoot 700 tomorrow. And, you know, these live guys only play 54 holes. Clown knows. He's trunk slamming. And then the one that has vindicated me, Zach Johnson, the guy that I said when he won the Masters the first time in 2005? Is it that long ago? Look it up if you don't mind. Zach Johnson, when he won it on the cold Masters where he laid up on every par five and played great wedge shots, I said immediately afterwards, I go, you know what? I'm sure he's a great guy, but I can't stand him. And I coined the term GGCSH. And I've called him that his whole career. Great guy, can't stand him. I've had some people tell me he's not that great a guy. And I'm like, okay, you might know him better than I do, but GGCSH. Well, today, after making a triple on 12, he then audibly turns to the patrons across Raised Creek in the stands who were politely clapping that he had finished out and said, F you. Caught.
I thought it was F off.
F off. Yes, thank you. F off. And caught on audio, the announcers did sort of a check swing gasp. You combine that with the blow up at Phoenix, with how badly he came off looking in the Buddies Network in Netflix for the Ryder Cup selections, and then everything else about him, I'm vindicated, boys.
I believe Augusta National should suspend him for a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
For treating the patrons that way, he should be suspended for a year.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of guys suspended, though. I'm sure there's others that we don't catch. But 2007, by the way, Zabe, was the year he won.
07, okay. All right, yeah. Another plane that came in with foam all over the runway, Sergio Garcia, bogey, 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 double, plus seven, misses the cut. But he had that outfit on Thursday, the yellow and green combination that he posed for on social media with his lovely wife. So he's got that from the weekend.
Speaking
and the
of Jason,
weekend off, too.
Speaking of Jason Day, the vest that he had on this morning was outrageous.
Malmon. Yeah.
I don't know how that company is going to survive. They're doing nothing but negative press.
I thought he was auditioning for the next tour of Wham. I mean, it was unbelievable.
I would have loved to have seen that vest with the pants from yesterday. He would have floated away in the wind today.
Crazy.
It would have been fantastic. Did you see the social media account for Malmon? Because people, of course, were clapping him after the big parachute pants on Thursday. And their social media account said, oh, I guess it's time that people get mad at fashion again. And I'm okay, that's pretty snarky. I was told by somebody who knows the apparel business that they're positioning themselves as a youth-oriented brand. This is not for us old guys, us traditionals. This is for the youngsters. Well, we'll see how they do. I don't think they've got winning.
And they're probably $160 a pair, so the youth is really going to pony up that to buy it.
All right. Brian Harman shot 72 in his second round, but he did all the damage blowing up in the morning. Shooting 81 to finish off his first round. He's out at plus nine. And then we got Jordan Spieth, 74 today, which was a five-stroke improvement, but a lot of his damage was done as well, finishing up his first round in the morning. I saw his one shot on five from the middle of the fairway. He hit a good drive, and it was a decent enough iron, but it came up on the green, but very far short, so he had like a 40-footer for birdie. And he was so mad, Ronis, he took like a swipe like he was going to bury his club. He is in hell right now, Jordan.
He's lost two. And he needs to part ways with McCormick, who I'm sure is an amazing teacher. I would almost guarantee he's an amazing teacher. But these guys, man, they need a little time to themselves, and then they need a new eye, I think. But not someone who's going to change. They all need to go to Butch.
Yeah, Bubba Watson and Charles Schwartzel finished plus 10, plus 11. Good thing both are collecting big, fat Saudi paychecks.
Guaranteed money, baby.
Don't seem to be competitive. Freddie Couples shot 76 today at least, finished plus 12. He's trunk slamming. Gary Woodland, understandably, coming back from that brain tumor, 81 today. And then Dustin Johnson, 78, 79. I mean, you know, he won the first live event in Vegas this year at the Super Bowl.
Did not know that. Did not care.
I don't know if he knew it.
Okay, so there's a quick rundown of the players. What else do we have just to mop up here from the tournament, the coverage, things you noticed, good things, bad things, everything else?
Zabe, we wanted to talk about the order of play tomorrow in terms of going, the pairings.
Why is Scheffler, who finished amongst the last two groups, not in the final group because he's tied?
Last out.
So it's first in, last out is the principle here. So you finish earlier than you're in the last group. And kind of the thought process is, imagine we've already played a round, but I'm playing in front of you. and then we end up tied. So I had a better next round, you know, that second round. Because if I started two behind you and now we're tied, that means I shot two strokes better. So that's kind of how the first in, last out, the philosophy behind it. So that's all you really got to remember, though. First in, last out, and last in, first out with ties. So because the other two played in the kind of morning time, they're going to be the last ones out. And because Scheffler finished late, he's the first one out of those tied.
Right. Is Tiger Woods' new cut streak really a streak, given that he WD'd last year after making the cut? Many of my friends say it's a cut made. You count it. I'm like, but he WD'd seven holes into the third round.
Yeah, he still made the cut.
The cut's 2 days.
I think the bigger question is it count as a streak when he missed so many events in between, right? It's not like 24 straight years he made the cut. It's 24 cuts over 30 years or however many.
Yeah,
I think it's arguing semantics. He's obviously had probably the most amazing Masters career in total, considering everything, even better than Nicklaus's. That could be argued. Find a bar stool and a friend that would like to argue that over a couple of pints. But, you know, the whole thing about obsessing on a cut streak, I think his tour cut streak is more impressive. I forget what that number was.
It's outrageous.
It was an absurd thing. And I distinctly remember seeing him fight like a sailor trying to keep his ship afloat in a storm just to make the cut at some of these majors. And I'm like, wow, this guy's cut differently.
I think it's 100 and something straight or something like that. It's crazy.
Okay. Okay. What is your viewing setup for the weekend as we put a wrap on it tonight?
Most of it's going to be on my phone because, you know, us golf pros, we work 9 days a week. So
How many players are due to go out tomorrow at River Creek?
We have a tournament. We have a tournament in the morning.
40-mile-an-hour wind gusts in the DMV.
85 at 9:30 for a shotgun. And I'll guarantee at 2:30 when they come off the course, the tee times will be booked from 2:30 to 6. Johnny R is going to sit there on his phone and watch as many shots as I possibly can while I'm going around the course saying, how's everything going out here today, guys?
A little breezy.
That's my life. I could have gone to law school, but I didn't.
Throw the game. Throw the game, buddy. You're out there. John Gould, what about you?
Hey, by the way, the Tiger Woods cut streak was 142 consecutive cuts made. Look that up while we're talking. I've got a good setup tomorrow because I am off. My son is working and my wife is working. So I am going to be probably stretched out on the couch. Maybe the dog will join me. And thank Christensen, our great sponsor. We were texting back and forth. Thanks to JT's blow up. We got an extra hour of times tomorrow morning because he let in those extra 10 players. We were going to have 50. Now we have 60. So we're starting at 9:30 instead of 10:30. So I'll be able to enjoy an extra hour of Masters coverage.
Right. And Zabe, Sunday, unfortunately, Laura has to go to North Carolina. So I am a bachelor. So you feel free to come hang with the dogs. I'll get a bigger TV.
Oh, that's right. You can't bring all your dogs.
I got a 75-incher upstairs and bring Tucker.
I don't know if he would do well with your dog.
He might not. Chaos. It would be chaos.
All right. Boys, great run. We went long, but I don't care. We love golf. Thanks for listening. Capital Golf Gang, emergency episode presented by Golfdom. We'll see you tomorrow night after round 3. Okay. Awesome. Hold that thought. I'm going to hit stop.